in your industry, not enough firms have caught on to what they need to be doing. And so your competition in many ways is less than. Over the last 15 years, I've narrowed this down to about 7 items that you need to focus on in order to build your best possible offense so that you can defend against whatever's coming your way. Welcome to this week's episode of the Your Practice Mastered podcast. My name is Richard James, and today we're going to discuss the best defense is a great offense. Now, that statement was originally founded many years ago by Sun Tzu and then George Washington, both from a wartime perspective, and then Vince Lombardi in sports, but in business, it's relevant. It begs the question, what are we defending against? For some of you, you're defending against new competitors showing up in your marketplace, or you've got some new young attorney who walked out with a case full of clients out of your firm and now opened up their own firm, and they're competing against you head on, and you feel like they're making a difference and it's making it difficult for you. Maybe your defense is against the fact that if you don't fix something, life is going to continue to suck, which means you're going to work 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week. This is why many professionals, but attorneys specifically, have high levels of divorce, alcoholism, substance abuse, like drug abuse. Just their lives are really difficult for lots of reasons. But the primary reason is because they're missing their best defense, which is really their best offense. The good news is, in your industry, not enough firms have caught on to what they need to be doing. And so your competition, in many ways, is less than. Over the last 15 years, I've narrowed this down to about 7 items that you need to focus on for this new year in order to build your best possible offense so that you can defend against whatever's coming your way. And then you can determine where you are from a health meter perspective on what's going on for you and your firm. You could kind of take a health meter to see which one of these you need to focus on, and you need to start there. What I want to make sure you don't do is try to do them all at once. Just pick one and build that offense, and then you can move on to the next one. Here's where we should head for 2026. The first item to pay attention to is, shocker, advertising. Remember, we have this marketing umbrella, and under the umbrella sits advertising and sales. If you're not advertising at all right now, and you're only word of mouth, you're extremely limited into your scalability, even to just growing to the keep it small, keep it all level of like that million two, depending on practice area. Now, if you are doing a million two and you're doing it all by referrals and you don't do any advertising whatsoever, congratulations to you. You've likely got a very profitable law firm and you should have a wonderful life. And if you don't, there's something else that's broken. So keep listening. If you are advertising, your number one responsibility is to make sure that your advertising efforts are maximized so that you're not spending money on advertising efforts that aren't working. You're tracking your lead sources. You know what your return on investment is. You understand what your cost to acquire a client is, and you understand what your LTV is, your lifetime client value, right? The first thing you gotta make sure we do is have an excellent offense that measures what's working and what's not working. That means we have to have tracking URLs, tracking phone numbers, QR codes, all the things we need to track what's working and what's not working. We need to be loading that all into a CRM. Now, this brings me to my next point, lead flow measurement. We have to measure all of the lead flow that comes into the firm. We must understand what's happening to a lead. We have to harvest every single piece of information about every single lead every single time. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to law firms through the years, and I ask them, how many qualified leads do you have? And they give me a number. And I say, how many appointments do you have? And they'll tell me, that's the same thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, when they become an appointment, that's the lead. I'm like, what about all the leads that called your firm that didn't become an appointment? Oh, we don't count those. The reality is every one of those leads costs money. Every time you don't capture that information about that lead, we're burning $50 bills. So having a lead tracking and measuring system that identifies what the outcome of the lead was. Did it set an appointment? Did it show to the appointment? Did they retain the firm? What was the case value? How much money did they pay down? All of these things have to be measured. And if we're not measuring, if we don't have a way to capture it and measure and report on it, we need to start there. That's the foundational truth. Without that, you're going to have a hard time building an offense in any other area. So your best defense is to build an incredible offense that tracks all of your lead source ROI measurements and make sure you're reporting on it on a regular basis. The next thing we have to talk about is intake. This depends on practice area. If you're a contingency firm, you might define intake differently than a family law firm. Suffice it to say, the lead comes in, somebody in your firm has to manage this. And then somebody in your firm has to manage those people who are managing the leads. You have to have somebody in place who cares deeply about the intake process, who believes in scripting, who believes in structuring, and builds an offense to make sure that your team says the exact same thing every single time, that they maximize the set rate, they maximize the show rate, that they make people feel good, and that they are doing a good job of being the first goodwill ambassador, the first impression of your firm. It's the first line of offense when it comes to the lead coming into your world. And that is one of the strongest offensive moves you can make. I would say this next department that we call sales, or let's call it closing, because sales encompasses intake, but in this case, closing, we have to make sure that we're using non-attorney closers. You want to make sure they are using a script and a structure. You want to make sure they're maximizing the case value. They're maximizing the amount of money you're paid. If you're a contingency firm, they're maximizing the number of cases that are retaining the firm. You want to make sure that they're managed. Yet another team that has to be managed by somebody. And if you're keep it small, keep it all, you as the owner and your personal assistant have to carve out time to actually manage these people, which means there's less time for you to do work. As you grow, you need help, which is why one of your first hires in a keep it small, keep it all firm is going to be an executive assistant. Now, if you're moving through that stage into the CEO level where you're getting to the $3 million level, hopefully you've surpassed that. We have now team leads or managers who are managing this. Again, but we have to have a sales manager who believes in the scripting process, who believes in the structure process. But what we find is sales managers, if they don't do this right and they don't believe in this process, sales fails. This is the area that I would say needs to be fixed faster than anything else. So if I was building one offensive area, it would be the closing area, that non-attorney closer role. I'd be building that first and I'd be building everything else around it, whether I'm a keep it small or I'm the CEO level firm or greater. I'm going to start there because if I fix my close rate, I maximize the number of clients I'm getting from the number of leads that I'm getting. So I maximize my new client to qualified lead ratio just because I'm closing more deals. I'm going to pay attention to the intake next. So I'm going to just tighten up the whole sales process and then move on to the next area, which brings me to my next point, pricing and collections. I can't tell you how many firms I meet with that collect 65, 70, 75, 80% of every dollar that's owed to them. Whether they're $1 million firm or a $10 million firm, there's always 20 to 30% that's owed to them that they'll never realize. And there's lots of reasons for it. The primary reason is they didn't build a good offense in the collections department, in their pricing department. They didn't tie together sales and collections and make sure they're working together. They didn't make sure that the sales department is pricing their services correctly, B, collecting the initial down payment for the sale during that initial consultation at the highest possible amount and rewarding the salespeople accordingly, and C, making sure they set up the collections process during the sales call so we know what the client is committing to and how they're going to pay off their case. Most firms struggle with collections and getting pricing right. Everything spawns off of this non-attorney sales role because it allows you to set the intake up right and allows you to set your pricing up right. Next, you really want to pay attention to culture. You need to create a place where your team feels safe, seen, heard, and understood. And if you don't, your team isn't going to optimize their performance. And you're going to constantly wonder why you don't trust your team. And the fact is, it's because your team doesn't trust you or doesn't trust the firm. And so you need to work on building a good culture. And that good culture starts with you. So how do you handle difficult conversations? How do you communicate with your team? Do you lose your temper with your team? Are you creating a culture that people can trust you, or are you not? Your best offense in this particular case is to make sure you're a better leader. You're building better culture, which brings me to number 7. I see most firms fail because of a lack of leadership. The leader of the firm doesn't recognize that they were taught to be a great attorney. They were taught to be a great litigator or great at the particular practice area, but they weren't taught to be great leaders and they weren't taught to be a great business person. And maybe some of the ways in which they were taught in law school or maybe by their mentors was really lousy and they adopted those skills. They're missing not only the ability to create this culture in this great space, they're missing the desire and the willingness to build the good offense in the marketing, in the lead capture strategy, in the intake process, in the sales process, in the pricing and the collections. They're missing all of that opportunity because their eyes are focused on legal, their eyes are focused on getting the work done, and their eyes are not focused on the business principles. And listen, you can't just do good legal work and be enough anymore. You got to do all these other things. Now, the final message I'll tell you about leadership and where it would be the best offensive build, if you just changed one thing about your leadership skill, I'd love you to wake up every morning and say, who can I inspire on my team today? Most everybody listening to this, you do, in my opinion, God's work. There are people who are struggling with real world problems. You're helping them, judgment free. And because you do that, you make a difference in the world. The work that you and your team does really matters. Most law firm owners don't deliver that message to their team. Most law firm owners don't take the time to actually look their team in the eye, one-on-one, kneecap to kneecap, through Zoom, and say, listen, everybody, I want to remind you why we're doing what we're doing. You should be inspiring your team every single day. If I can get you to start to inspire your team, what's going to happen is I can probably get you to inspire yourself. And if I get you to inspire yourself and understand how important it is, the work that you do matters, I can hopefully get you excited enough to build an offense in all of the seven areas I talked about today. Once you get enthusiastic about that and you start making a difference in these areas, especially if you take my advice and start in the sales closing area, you start to generate more clients, more revenue, more profit. And if I can inspire you that what you do matters, and you can get a little bit of results from what I'm telling you today, what's going to happen is we're going to start this flywheel and it's going to start going faster and faster and faster. I tell you this because I'm lucky enough to still be a lead consultant for many firms over these 15 years. I've watched their growth, and every year they grow a little bit more than the year before. And every year they get a little smarter and gain a little bit more freedom. And every year they're moving towards their goals. It's a lot of fun for me to watch. And I'd love to watch that happen for you too. But the best defense against the crappy life is an excellent offense. Let's go build that for 2026.